This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, September 14th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It's good to be with you after yet another riveting week in D.C. sports. We don't have a lot of time to play with, so let's go ahead and jump right into our top five most read stories of the week. From thefandc.com, these are the stories that you cared the most about by giving us your vote with your page views.
It's time for the download countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
The stress of the job is clearly getting to Redskins coach Jay Gruden. That's the premise of Rick Snyder's column on thefandc.com. titled Stress is Showing in Redskins Coach. It was a simple question that had to be asked and answered each day like some games. Rick Snyder writes, what was Redskins tight end Jordan Reed's playing status after suffering a concussion on August 22nd? Head coach Jay Gruden spat a response on Monday with unusual harshness. Well, we've got the audio for you. Here's what it sounded like when Jay Gruden just completely snapped on our own Craig Hoffman.
For Jordan, is he technically still in the protocol at this point?
I've explained this 3,000 times, okay? They're never really totally out of the protocol. They just continue to get more work and practice. He did a lot of team today, which is good. He just got to continue to get more reps, and then we'll continue to monitor how he's feeling afterwards.
Snyder writes, and just like that, another crack was revealed of the mounting pressure Gruden now faces after an 0-1 start in a win-or-get-fired gear. Now, no one cares that a coach gives a reporter a terse answer. I've seen much worse for much less. But that's not Gruden's style. After watching his pressers for 6 years, you draw a baseline on his emotions. The coaches don't realize it, but reporters look for subtle tells just like poker players, and Gruden showed one there. You can read Rick Snyder's full column again. Stress is showing in Redskins coach up on thefandc.com/Redskins. That is our fifth most read story of the week from thefandc.com.
Number four.
Last Sunday was DeSean Jackson's homecoming in Philadelphia, and he made it count against another of his former teams, the Washington Redskins. Jackson ripped off 8 catches for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns, torching them. For touchdowns of 51 and 53 yards. But Redskins fans should be haunted not so much about what he did to them on the field, but about what he had to say after the game. Quote, I've been over there in that Redskins locker room, and I just know how they are. At halftime, they probably thought they had the game sealed and won. It's just going to take one play to get back in it. Jackson continues, I couldn't have predicted it to be any other way. Not one moment in that game did I think we weren't going to win that game. End quote. That is not good. This is a guy that used to be in your locker room, understands what the atmosphere was like under Jay Gruden, and obviously you couldn't have written that one any more along the lines of a Redskins script where they come out hot in the first half, gangbusters even, and then just completely fall apart in the remaining duration of the game. That was, again, DeSean Jackson dunking on his former team, the Washington Redskins.
Number three.
So often, our 106.7 The Fan listeners are a vital resource. On many occasions, they call in with a provocative thought or a tidbit of information that sparks conversation, sparks a dialogue, even segment ideas. Monday morning on the Junkies, however, something extraordinary occurred. And without giving away the surprise, I think, in my mind's eye, this is a first for 106.7 The Fan. I can't remember somebody calling in with precisely this problem before.
All right, but before we go to the calls, a lot of people, you can call in, 800-636-1067. We absolutely want to hear your take on the game. Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? All that good stuff. But we do have somebody that called in out of the blue. The boys don't know about this. Drabby hit me to it, though. There's a guy, Bobby, from Fairfax, who called in during the last segment. He's in the hospital.
Well, that's okay. Not good, generally.
Bobby, tell the guys. How are you, buddy? Let's give us a little of your background. Bobby, 63, right?
Right.
How long you been married, Bobby?
Well, I've been married 38 years.
38 years. He sounds like, and he's in there for something serious.
So you're in a hospital bed right now.
Yep. I'm in the hospital for the person was
it's a little high
my spouse. I'm in one of the iNovas.
Okay. All right, tell the boys what happened and why you're in the hospital.
Okay, I was watching
iNova, the
Nats game, and she came home from one of the local area bars, Applebee's, intoxicated.
Wife. What happened?
My wife, okay. And she proceeded to start screaming at me, and then it erupted into me getting stabbed with a butcher knife.
Why'd she stab you?
Because she said, I watch too much Nats.
What?
That's all I do is watch baseball.
But she still, hold on.
Hey, you have Nats. She was hammered.
Why did she start yelling at you in the first place? Because you had
the Nats game on? Because she said that when she left, I was sitting there watching the Nats.
And
when I
came
home.
Sweep.
Right.
Of course you're watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And.
Go ahead.
And she, you know, she
said when she came back, you were still watching the damn Nats, and that set her off.
Yeah, and that set her off, and well, she's where she's supposed to be right now.
Well, dude, he's on painkillers.
She's
probably on morphine.
He's calling from the hospital. Yeah.
You should know about getting stabbed, JP.
The guys told me that you're a smaller guy, right? Because, like, I'm sorry, she's a woman. You should be able to at least hold her back a little bit. How come you couldn't do that?
Well, all I could do was I broke her nose. I broke her nose, and that was all I could do.
Where were you stabbed?
How much do you weigh, Bobby?
I weigh 115. I'm 5'6".
115? My daughter weighs more than that.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
She probably weighs about 200.
Where did your wife stab you? What part of the body?
I'm shocked. She's able to stab
the
you.
Right, the left forearm. Uh-huh. The left top part of my arm. I got 13 stitches.
And where is she right now?
Did she get arrested?
Bare fact.
How did she hit such a small target? That's like trying to stab a toothpick. Your scrawny little body.
Did she get arrested?
Yeah, she got arrested, and her spiel in the hallway was it was self-defense.
All right, so you guys obviously are having problems outside of this.
Oh, I'm in the process of divorce.
Yeah, have you started it before the stabbing?
That would do it.
Did you start the process before?
This happened about 3 weeks ago, something similar, and that's when I started looking for a good divorce attorney.
Right.
I'm disabled, guys. I'm disabled. I need a hip replacement, and I got a really, really bad arthritis, but believe it or not,
you know what his life is? Is a hand I got knocked out on.
Seven.
Hey, what was she charged with? Assault with a deadly weapon?
No, it's called malicious wounding.
Wow.
Do you think she tried to kill you?
She wigged out. She lost it. You would not have known that she was 2 hours earlier, 3 hours earlier, a completely different person. She just...
Right. Well, she was boozing. Let me ask you a question. Bobby, when's the last time you hit the skins with this lovely lady?
God, I hope it's been years.
When was the last time?
The last time that we, in the sheets?
Yeah, exactly.
like maybe 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
It's pretty recent. Yeah. I mean, considering she tried to kill him.
And he's 63 and disabled, needs a new hip, and I can't got arthritis.
Yeah,
he's
still and
getting in
yeah,
more
and,
oh, absolutely.
And she
you get that
and
crazy
she, and she actually says that she thinks that I have a girlfriend. That's the funny part. I'm the biggest couch potato there is.
All you want to do is watch the Nats.
All I do is...
She tried to donkey off. You got to get off that couch,
you just
brother.
Love Davey Martinez
Man,
so much.
What's your
I'll
evaluation?
Tell you what.
Why didn't you tell your wife the Nats are trying to hold on to the wild card?
Yeah. I did, and she knows.
Told her Max was pitching.
Yeah.
So
hey guys.
So do you watch every single game?
I haven't missed a game.
All year.
All right, what's your evaluation of the? I want to hear your breakdown of the Nats.
I'm digging them. I'm digging them, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can get. I don't think that they can get past the Dodgers. Right. I don't think they can get past. I think that we're just riding a wave that's going to just peter
what do you
out.
Think it's going to doom them? The bullpen.
The bullpen, Doolittle and them are going to do them in,
yeah.
And we're just not going to make it.
Best of luck recovering. Best of luck recovering, and you know what?
Maybe I'm being honest about the Nats,
right,
guys.
I know you are. All right, Bobby, are you upset?
Out of that relationship.
Are you upset about the breakup of your marriage?
I'm more upset about Jay Gruden.
Hey, Bobby, do you have kids?
Yeah, three of them, and I hope they're not listening.
Well, what do they think about their mom?
They know she's nuts.
Right.
They know she's nuts.
It's not good to make fun and laugh about a situation, but you seem to have such a good sort of spirit about it that I think it's okay that we're laughing.
Exactly. That's all I can do, guys, is this is the only route I can go with it. Believe it or not, last night I was crying my eyes out.
I bet.
About the whole situation.
Listen.
He's talking about the Nats.
Yeah, about Terry McLaurin being overthrown by Case Keenum.
Right,
not
I was too.
The lost man cry.
I was too about right, that defense. Bobby. Couldn't make any stops. Hey, Bobby, love you, man. Be safe, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Bobby.
Keep doing what you do.
Bobby.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, Bobby, the awesome man. Bobby.
Dude, that was worth breaking up some skins calls.
Yeah, I agree.
What a fantastic zinger to go out with there. The nice little Jay Gruden zinger from Bobby, our friend Bobby. That was our third most read story of the week from the fan, DC.com.
Number two.
Morgan Moses wasn't the only Redskins veteran to publicly question Jay Gruden's decision not to dress Adrian Peterson in last week's loss to the Eagles. Chris Thompson, albeit in a much more graceful manner, told the Junkies he, too, wanted to see AP out on the field in Philadelphia.
Since we're talking to a running back who was active, give us your take on Adrian Peterson being inactive. Took a lot of us fans by surprise.
Yeah, I wanted, I wanted AP to be out there. I mean, what he did last year, we all three of us have been able to work together this whole, you know, since April or whatever, and since OTAs and everything. So I was looking forward to him being out there, but I know, like, especially with Coach Gruden and those decision makers, is kind of hard because all three of us aren't really special teams guys, and sometimes you need, you know, one or two guys down the line to be guys that play special teams, and it sucked, and I talked to AP about it, you know, when we all kind of found out, and, you know, he obviously wants to be out there, want to be able to help us, and I was excited, too, just, you know, possibly being a three-headed monster out there, you know, and me being able to come in after they've, you know, him and guys have pounded on the defense, but I don't know. I think that's something we just got to go in every day and figure out what we're going to do. You know, guys, AP obviously came here because guys got hurt last year. So, you know, now that guys is healthy, I think, you know, for Coach Gruden, it's, you know, to let guys be that guy. So I think that's just kind of how we just got to roll with it, with the punches, whatever it is. But I know, right. You know, I want him, obviously, I want him to be out there dressed up and playing with us. I think he would definitely make a huge impact, even if, you know, him and Guy split 30 carries or whatever, got 15 each, whatever the case may be. I believe both of them being fresh, you know, it would be a good thing, especially going down the line.
I don't know if you heard any of Jay's comments afterwards, but he kind of made it seem like he said it was going to be week to week, but he said something, you know, kind of flipping. I know he's frustrated, but he said, yeah, sure. You know, if we have 55 plays, we're going to run an I formation, he'll be up. Made it seem like anytime soon he wasn't necessarily going to dress. Do you feel like it's week to week, though?
Yeah, I guess so. I know how this whole inactive, active thing kind of works, but, yeah, I mean, I really don't know much to say about that. I want to see him out there, you know, every week, but, you know, we got to, if we only, like you said, I guess 55 plays, whatever the case may be, but, you know, I guess to be able to, we got to be in good situations to be able to run the ball a lot, so those guys get a good amount of carries. It's you know, no point of them both getting dressed, I guess, if one get 5 carries and the other 20 or whatever the case may be. Yeah.
I know you haven't seen the film yet. But we're there. I know for me as a fan, I didn't see when this is no disrespect to Adrian Peterson. There is no question he can still play in this league. No question. 100%. But at no point did I watch that game and go, well, I wish AP had that carry instead. Like, I thought Geis got what was there. He's a powerful runner. Yep. He falls forward. He's quick. Mm-hmm. He's got the jump cuts and all that stuff, too. Just as shifty, in my opinion. I don't know. Did you feel at that time, I know you haven't seen the film yet, that, man, AP should have had that particular carry?
No, I think I can agree with you on that and say I didn't see anything where I said, hey, if he had it, it would have been any different. You know, obviously we did terrible in the run game. We didn't do what we should have done. You know, like past times we've been in situations or put ourselves in situations where we had to get away from the run, but at the same time, you know, it's Adrian Peterson. So, of course, people still, you know, guys, especially us as running backs, we want to see him out there dressed up. I don't know if he makes a difference yesterday or not, but still like to see him. Like, we always want to see him out there with us.
Of course, you can find that full interview at thesportsjunkies.com. And a reminder, Chris Thompson will be on with the Junkies each and every Monday following game day throughout the course of this season. Great addition to the 106.7 The Fan weekly lineup. Got to get to a break. When we come back, our top story of the week, the biggest story in the week in DC sports as determined by you, by giving us your digital vote, your click. This story garnered more clicks than all others on thefandc.com. You're listening to The Download. Welcome back to The Download. It's time for our top story of the week. This is the biggest story in DC sports this week as determined by you, the reader of thefandc.com.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
The Redskins need a new defensive coordinator. That was the opening salvo of Rick Snyder's Monday morning column. Snyder, the author of our number 5 and number 1 most read stories of the week from thefandc.com, joins us now. Rick, how's it feel to be victorious this Saturday morning?
Well, I guess I'm first and last in the list. You know, so Ricky Bobby's wrong. But, yeah, well, you know, the first one on, you know, Redskins fans are always mad after games. So if you join in on that fury, they'll read you a lot, that's for sure.
Well, you know what I thought was interesting? That these two out of, I believe, the 3 columns you filed this week, one about the stress showing on Jay Gruden. You know, he seems to be wearing thin, and we're only week one into the regular season. And then the other on the defense needing a new coordinator. I kind of read them both and thought they almost go hand in hand a little bit.
Well, certainly if Gruden goes, you know, as Minuski goes too. And I think there's not much hope for either of them staying. But you may buy some time. I mean, if they go out and get crushed by Dallas, they might change defensive coordinators because you have people on the staff who can be the defensive coordinator. And what this team needs often is a good kick in the butt and a punch in the mouth. Who do you go to do that? The Ryan family. And they got one of the Ryans on their staff who could maybe elevate these guys one last time to do that. So, you know, if they let us go, I don't think it's the end of the earth. Having been laid off myself this week, you know, I can tell them it sucks, but life will go on.
Well, I guess what I meant, Rick, is that, you know, the Redskins in the first half of that game were a different team than they were in the second half. And, you know, a lot of people credit Jay Gruden for not making adjustments. I hear it over and over again. But the defense in the second half, yeah, you lose Jonathan Allen. The defense was lousy in the second half. And I almost wonder if a part of that nagging problem of Jay Gruden of failing to make adjustments isn't a big part of the responsibility of that defensive coordinator making adjustments and, you know, bailing on the pass rush in the second half. And I don't know. I just kind of think that Gruden at this point, we know what he is. And I think one of the things that he may be is a little bit loyal to a fault, where if you're looking at this through the prism of, well, we don't know that this is his last year or his last year to prove it. You know, he's got another year left on his contract after this. But it certainly seems like the writing's on the wall, and if that's the case, maybe he is loyal to the fault in that he's not willing to throw his defensive coordinator under the bus when he's a big part of the problem.
Well, at this point, you don't want too many more disruptions to happen. I mean, there's so many players that have been hurt already, and we're only at week two, and I'm like, this is crazy. You know, how many guys aren't out there? You know, the handful of key playmakers. They wanted to replace Minuski in the offseason. The problem was, nobody with experience wanted the job because they all saw it as a one-year deal. And who wants to come here and fail? So that was the biggest reason why they didn't make a change on this. And Minuski, you know, I'm not firing away at him over one game. It's been 2 years of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they talk about miscommunication. Well, whose fault's that? You know, I mean, at some point players have to play. But, the halftime adjustments never happened. And when Gibson Pettibone were running this team, well, they didn't even talk to each other at halftime. They were worried about their own things. But basically, Gibbs and his defensive coordinator, Richard Pettibone, they could have gone at halftime and said, okay, we'll switch teams. I'll take yours. You take mine. I'll still kick your butt. And, you know, this team never adjusted anything in the third quarter.
Well, and you mentioned the miscommunication. There was a huge one that led to a big DeSean Jackson touchdown. And I believe what we ended up hearing after the fact was that they had made a change just before the snap, and that change had never been communicated to Josh Norman. So he basically ends up leaving Monte Nicholson to cover two guys down the field. Well, that miscommunication, that's indicative of poor leadership. And if it's on the defensive side of the ball, to me, that's Minuski.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why you suppose the practices all the time. The one problem I've had with Jay since he came here, there's never been a real sense of urgency on a daily level to get better. Mm-hmm. Now, Jay's a good guy. I like him. I think he's a good coach. But his practices aren't nearly as intense as I would like. And I'm not talking about hitting. I'm talking about pace of practice and, you know, the urgency to get better. I just never see that enough. And, you know, it spills over into the games. And, you know, this team has better feel some urgency. If they lose to Dallas, you're 0-2 in the division right off. And, yeah, you could turn it around, but to keep losing guys already, I don't know that we're going to ever see that. This is a big game, and I think there'll be more Cowboys fans in the stands than Redskins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned earlier how, you know, they wanted to find a new coordinator in the offseason, but nobody wanted the job because who wants to take a job for 1 year when they have to uproot their families, uproot their lives? But I mean, you're in the position now where you've got that guy in your building, like you said, in Rob Ryan. What is stopping Jay Gruden from making the change in season if he knows that it's a critical change that must be made. What's stopping him from just axing Minuski right now, cutting the head off the snake and going, Rob Ryan, you're experienced. You've got obviously decades of coaching experience in the NFL and as a defensive coordinator. You're our guy moving forward.
I think part of it is you know that in the end what's going to happen. So why create a lot of problems and turnover among your staff right now? You know, I mean, Jay was spitting at the media some this week. And not that I'm, you know, going to fall apart over hearing something like that. I don't care. But I watch coaches every time they talk for the simple reason of looking at a baseline of what they're like.
Right.
And when you see them start to get mad about things, that's very out of character to Jay. And he has unfairly been forced to deal with a lot of issues with the media that he shouldn't. He has to keep talking about Trent Williams. You know, he has to keep talking about injured players. In the past, trainers did that. You know, it's all shoveled on him, and I guess he just got tired of it one day because you can kind of see the end and just say, heck with it. You know, if it's your last week of job, are you going to put up with crap? No.
But do you think that's how he views it, that he views it as the story's already written, so I'm just going to go out my way?
Not entirely at this point. Coaches always have hope. That's how they're basically wired. It's like when they say, hey, is so-and-so going to play this week? Well, you know, I think so, because until they say no, he will think, yeah, they may. Even though all the rest of us know Jonathan Allen, Jordan Reed weren't playing this week.
Right.
And Geis either, but he's like, eh. And that's kind of how they approach it. They're in a week-to-week mode now. Nothing changes. They just look at the next team, and they don't worry about the rest. But the man is human, and, you know, you can see that too.
Well, there's pockets of fans, and obviously we never look to fan reaction to judge, you know, what's really happening inside the building, but there are pockets of fans that want Jay gone, that have wanted Jay gone since he got here basically 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And then there's pockets of fans that kind of look a little past that, and they say, well, no, I mean, let's give him a shot with actually a good defensive coordinator. Let's get rid of Minuski. And I can tell you this, you certainly reached that pocket of fans when you published your column about getting rid of Minuski. And I wonder if it's maybe more of a glaring issue than people realize or than the Redskins realize.
Well, the Redskins don't really tap in that well to fans. I mean, this team has lost so much of its fandom in the last few years alone that it's like a bunker down mentality, I guess. There's some people that always believe the Redskins are the greatest thing in this town. And maybe they still are by percentage points, but not like they used to be. And a lot of fans, I've known fans, one in particular, who gave up his season tickets after 70-some years, like in his 90s, and he could still go. He's in shape. He's been here almost the whole way. He said, I can't take it anymore. There's a lot of people like that. I think they may be outnumbered at almost every home game this year will be visiting fans in the lead. I'd say almost all of them, maybe not the Detroit game. That's really sad when you think about it.
You wrote that it's expected that Jay Gruden's going to get off to a 1-4 start. And obviously after their season opener against the Eagles, that is certainly still possible. It's probably more likely than them going 4-1 in their first five games. Do you think, I guess, if they start off 1-4 or even 2-3, that Jay Gruden gets fired in season, or is it more like you wrote where it's dead man walking mentality with Jim Zorn in his last year where he's going to get fired, everybody knows it, but we're waiting until the end of the season?
I mean, if it's 0-5, maybe, because Dan Snyder learned his lesson with Norv Turner that fans really turn on you when you fire a coach and during the season. He was going to that's the only reason he didn't fire Marty Schottenheimer at 0-3. They were ready to do it then.
Right.
And already turned it around. I really thought the Redskins were going to beat the Eagles. I picked them that way. And at 17-0, I thought, ooh, I got this one right. And then it all went away. But it's going to be tough. I mean, Dallas is probably going to win. Chicago Bears are a good team. The Giants always give them trouble, no matter what. They've split the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you got New England. I mean, man, you know, what's left by the end of that? But I would not expect an in-season firing.
Well, people can read your columns, Rick Snyder. Our fifth most read stories of the week and our first number one most read story of the week from thefandc.com/Redskins. Stress is showing in Redskins coach and Redskins defense requires a new leader. Rick Snyder, thanks for joining the download this Saturday morning.
All right. Next week, I'm writing five columns. We'll do the whole show at once.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. Bye.
When we come back, it's time for my favorite segment of the week and your favorite segment of the week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download. Welcome back to The Download. You know what time it is. It's time for the Junkies Rewind. The Junkies, as they are wont to do, made some news bright and early Monday morning.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is right tackle Morgan Moses, presented by the Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Yeah, looking forward to this, man. Really excited about it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, I should maybe start off talking with a positive and talk about UVA for a second.
Well, before that, I think...
Bryce Perkins.
Since you're going to be a regular guest, Morgan, you're going to have to pick what intro music you want whenever you're played in. So you don't have to pick it right now, but just think about it.
Do you have anything that just jumps out at you that you'd love?
I mean, definitely. We'll definitely throw a list at you, but I'm thinking about some AC/DC maybe.
Really?
Oh, wow. AC/DC.
I'm warming up to Morgan already.
That's a curveball.
He's my kind of guy. You know,
hey, look, I just hit you with the curveball, right?
Yep.
We like it. All right, let's talk about the game yesterday, and obviously a tale of two halves. Let's start with the good. First half was unbelievable the way you guys, I mean, almost to perfection. You know, some penalties here and there, but, you know, really executed well offensively. Never really got the running game going, but, you know, whatever. Case was doing such a great job spreading the ball around. The young receivers were making plays. How did you feel as the game started? What was sort of the game plan?
I think definitely, man. Obviously, there's no secret to what we are. We're young on the offensive side. Everybody knows that.
Right.
I think we just came out and got, you know, we did the things that we needed to do. We ran the ball effectively enough to play action them.
Yep.
And like I said, Case got the ball out of his hands quick and fast. And we know what the Eagles are. You know, they have a great front seven. And, you know, when you can move the chains, man, it allows them not to be able to pull their ears back and just rush the passers all the time. So I think it was a good first half, man. We had a lot of mix of runs and pass.
Yeah, but I was a little surprised. I mean, obviously I get it. There's no Trent there on the left side. But I think by my count, I'm just a dummy sitting there watching on the couch, I thought the first six or seven runs were all to the right side. I thought eventually they'd pick up on that. But what was kind of the thinking there? Then you started going to the left side, and then I think we started to have a little bit more issue. What was sort of the thinking on sort of the distribution, running right, running left, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, when you got a all-pro guard right there, Brandon Sheriff's blocking Fletcher Cox, man, obviously that's a great matchup. We know where Fletcher Cox is going to line up, and we believe Brandon, being the best offensive guard in the NFL, has a task where he can handle. So, you know, we're able to do things to our side. And, you know, it's not that we don't trust the left side. We're still growing. We're still growing as an offense. So, obviously, you know, this was Geis's first full action, and we got some things to clean up. But I think, you know, as we started off in the game, that we had some great play calls and we were able to get the ball down the field.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit on your first appearance here on the Junks.
Talk to me.
Would Adrian Peterson have helped you guys yesterday?
You know, obviously, man, anytime you got a Hall of Fame guy that's just, that doesn't dress, man, it's a slap in the face. And obviously, we got to figure out what the reason is. And it's my job as one of the older guys on the offensive line and to speak up and say, hey, we need him. Obviously, you don't put a Hall of Fame guy like that on the sideline, and when he's healthy as well. So I think he brings a lot to the game. I think he brings a lot to our team. But to have that guy, you know, just stand on the sideline is just it doesn't sit well through guys on the team or the NFL. So you know, that, I think that's something that we need to correct, man, because he's a hell of a football player.
Will you be surprised if he's inactive again this week against Dallas?
I will be very surprised.
Okay.
Will you say something to the coaches?
Yes.
Did you say anything to the coaches when you learned he was inactive yesterday?
No, I didn't, man. You know, obviously, I talked to Adrian about it, and, you know, obviously, you know, he's a guy that's you know, he's selfless, man. He doesn't, it's not about him, it's bigger than him, and he understands that, and obviously, you know, a guy like that with that type of caliber wants to be on the field, but also he's a guy that's not going to make a whole lot of shout and noise about it either. But, you know, obviously, you know, with guys coming off the injury and him having his first action, a lot of us felt like, you know, Adrian should have been out there just to, you know, even if it was just to spare guys, you know, because obviously Chris Thompson is not a guy that you want to give the ball to in the A gap and the B gaps when you got, you know, their big heavy guys sitting in there. You know, Chris Thompson is good at opening space and that's what he does well. And so we just got to figure out what's going on. And, you know, I know I'm not the only person that feels that way, but we got to correct some things.
Joined by Redskins right tackle Morgan Moses. Now, a guy who did help you out yesterday was Vernon Davis. I mean, that guy is a super freak at 35 years old to make that play that he did, vaulting an Eagles defender down the sideline and taking it 48 yards for the touchdown. That's a good guy to bring in when Jordan Reed can't go.
Yeah, man, you know, so much emotion on that touchdown, man, and a lot of people don't know what was going on with that guy, man. His grandfather, who basically raised him, passed away in his arms Saturday morning after practice, and it caused him to be a little. He actually didn't travel with the team, man. He got to the hotel late Saturday night, and I was able to talk to him and tell him, you know, hey, Vernon, man, your grandfather wouldn't want it anyway, man. You're here. And so that touchdown, man, was a blessing in disguise, man, because, you know, me and him talked about it, and obviously he had a lot of emotion running through his veins and stuff like that. And it was very well deserved. It was a hell of a play, but that touchdown was way bigger than football.
Morgan, I want to ask you about the three possessions in the second half. Obviously, that's when the game changed. First of all, I want to give you guys props for what I think you guys did, especially on the line in pass protection. It really helped Case have a great game, and the receivers make plays. But, you know, there was three critical possessions there. We had ball for basically 2.5 minutes in the third quarter and a couple minutes in the fourth before the game was out of hand. 5 penalties in 10 plays. All by the offensive line. You had a couple, Penn had two or three of them. Talk about that and just, like, what goes into that. I know you guys are giving it your all. You're trying 100%. Were any of those penalties did you think were outrageous? They were unfair? Like, just break down that little sequence there.
You know, there's no question, you know, and obviously, you know, I might get a little, you know, I might be stretching this a little bit by answering this, but, you know, there's no question that, man, we've been targeted throughout the NFL these last couple of seasons on penalties, man. It's you know, we do our best. Obviously, we have the guru of offensive line coach. We do our best to you know, to play by the rules, and, you know, but sometimes, you know, these holding calls are just, you know, they're just outrageous. You know, obviously, these referees have never played a lick of football in their life, and for some reason, you know, they think it's holding. And obviously, when you got your hands inside the breastplate, or if you're running and diving at somebody, there's no way that can be a hold. So, obviously, but, you know, we're the players, so obviously we have to find a way to correct it, and we got to move on. You know, if they want us to play a certain way, we have to play a certain way, you know. But it's getting to the point where, you know, this offseason where they talked about they want to call more holding penalties on the offensive line, and it's just, you know, it's a little outrageous, but you got to figure out how to you know, you got to figure out a way to get around it. So,
did you feel like maybe Penn talked about this after the game? I'm not sure. Did you feel like they called the game differently in the second half versus the first half? I think Penn said he felt like he was kind of blocking the same way. They told him you're close, but you got to get your hands out quicker or something. So he said he even did that more in the second half, and yet they started calling him.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things, man. Like, look, we can't blame the game us losing the game on penalties, you know, because I don't think we lost the game there. Obviously, it puts us in some situations that you want to be. But when you look on the other side of it, their offensive line, man, their two tackles are offsides every play when they're pass protection. You know, if you get a chance to look at it, man, they're offsides every play, and they're not getting flags or anything like that. And I'm not pointing the finger at, you know, we're being treated differently, but it's just one of those things where, like, you know, you can't hold that much, you know.
One thing I did notice, Morgan, is when they had short yardage, and it is hard to defend. This is now talking defensively. But it is hard to defend when they're basically going to go four downs pretty much every time. They don't care. But when they had short yardage, their center – I don't know if you guys noticed this from watching. He had the ball over the first down marker, like before they even snapped it. So I know they lay the ball down. He had it. He then took his arm, extended it out like a yard, and then all you have to do is just lean forward. And it's a first. He's already got the first down before he even snapped it.
Did you notice that?
No, you know, I always look at the tackles, man. You know, because obviously, you know, you got to figure out what they're doing, what they're getting away with, and you know, obviously, I know that they're jumping the count. You know, they jump the count every play, and they don't get any warnings and anything. But, you know, at the same time, man, like I said, man, we're the football players, and we have to adjust to whatever they're calling. You know, every referee called it different. And obviously, you know, I can say a lot of things about it, but obviously they threw the flag, and we just got to figure out to correct it. If it's going to be like this all season, man, we got to find a way. Maybe we block people with our hands behind our back or something. I don't know.
Joined by right tackle for the Redskins, Morgan Moses, who's presented by Steamfitters UA, Local 602. They built this city. So we heard a lot about these young receivers, heard a lot, didn't get to see much in the preseason. Did you know how good Terry McLaurin was? Did you expect this from him and the other guys?
Are you talking about Scary Terry?
Yes, sir.
Scary Terry.
Yes, sir.
You know, just being around that guy, man, he's one of those just quiet, humble guys, man. And obviously, we didn't play him in the preseason for a reason. So you guys would know about him. But obviously, people know about him now. I mean, I think he had, what, four or five catches for like 100-some yards. And the kid is fast and explosive, and he's a humble guy, man. Like I said, man, he just comes to work every day. Even Kelvin Harmon, man, he's a big physical receiver, man. He's a guy that's willing to stick his nose into the you know, the block the safeties and crack D linemen and things like that, man. And when you got a young group of guys that are selfless, but it helps a lot, man. And then it's just, you know, we're just young. We're young in our receiving core. You know, Paul Richardson is probably one of the older guys, but he hasn't played a lot, you know, him being hurt last year. And so I think they did a great job of just getting open and making big plays.
Do you leave that game yesterday? I'm a fan here. You should know, Morgan. I don't know if you know the dynamics of the show here. But three of the guys here, they're just big NFL fans. And, of course, they root for the Redskins because, you know, we get ratings bonuses when y'all do well. But there's one diehard fan.
Help us out.
There's one diehard fan, and that's me, right? So I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm disappointed in the loss, obviously. Anytime you're up 17-0, you want to close that out. But I left that game as a fan. Now, it's only week one. I might be different in week five or six. But I left that game feeling more optimistic about the future than pessimistic just because of the things I know you guys can do on offense, and I wasn't quite aware of that. Now, I'm scared about the defense. We got to tighten up that. But I actually left that game feeling optimistic. How did you leave that game yesterday?
Oh, man, you know, I think we came out and we did the things that we were supposed to do, man. We played a perfect half. I mean, you can't play any better football in that first half. And I think some things that showed up was, you know, us being young. You know, obviously, we don't have a lot of veteran guys on our offense or, you know, on our offense at all. And, you know, when you look at the Eagles, man, all they have is veteran seasoned guys. So, you know, we have to find ways to, you know, transition that first half into that second half and play four quarters. And I know that's something we've talked about over the years now, but this is probably one of the most explosive teams I've been a part of. Just in the pieces and the receivers, the running backs, you know, just the offensive line and stuff like that, man. Like, I think we did a great job of bringing guys in, and I think we just have to make that transition to make sure that the things that we do well, we continue doing well.
What were the players saying in the locker room after the game before the media got in there? What were their takeaways?
I mean, obviously, man, guys are hurt, man. Obviously, you're up 20 to 10 in the first half, and you know, you finished the game 32-27. Obviously, you know, there's some things you got to correct. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's just, that's not the defense. Like, everybody wants, if people want to point, you know, to the defense, we got to make plays, man. We got to make plays on special teams. We got to, it takes all four phases to win a game, man. And we just got to do better. The energy, just the, you know, because we know we're young. We know we're young. We're a young team. And when you're a young team, man, you got to, a lot of these guys don't have that NFL experience to play a full game. You know, a lot of those guys, ran out that tunnel for the first time in a real game in their life, you know? And so with that being said, we got to find a way to make sure we're bringing that energy in all four quarters.
All right, two quick things. First of all, I just want to ask, what was Jay's demeanor like in the locker room? I don't know what he's like in the locker room. After a loss like that, is he pissed off or is he trying to be encouraging? And then secondly, this is your debut here. Let's make some news. I know you're texting Trent. I know you are. There's a 100% chance. We need to know what's the latest. We're hearing rumblings that he could show up this week. Would you buy stock in that?
I would say 50-50. You know, obviously our relationship is more than outside, out of the facility and outside of football. But he's doing well. I know one thing, he's in the best shape he's ever been, he's told me. So when he does get the call and when he does come back, man, he'll be ready to roll. But obviously you can't replace a guy in that caliber of what he brings to the team. And obviously, you know, at the end of the day, man, he's his own business, man. You know, everybody looks at us as players in NFL players, but at the end of the day, this guy, you know, he's his own business. His body is his business, man. Without him taking care of his body, he wouldn't be able to do what he does. In the last 9-10 years, he's been in the league. So,
what was Jay like? What was Jay like in the locker room afterwards?
You know, Jay, he's upbeat, man. You know, obviously, he's upset because we lost the game, but at the end of the day, man, he said there's a lot of good things that we did, and we just got to take it. We got to take it moving forward. And obviously, we got some guys that are a little beat up. We got to get them healthy, but we're moving on, man, because it doesn't get any easier. We got Dallas this week, and then we got freaking a Monday night game against the Bears. So it's not getting any easier.
Right. Morgan, you're excellent. I wish we had more time with you, but we have your teammate Chris Thompson joining us at 9.
And we got you
every week,
too.
So we really look forward to having you on every Monday morning at 8:20. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, man.
Yes, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yep. All right.
And we'll get that AC/DC lined up for you for your next appearance.
Dude, he is fire.
Very good. He made some news. Woo! Number one, he thinks that the Redskins are targeted by referees. But I think the big one was he said anytime you've got a Hall of Fame guy that doesn't dress, it's a slap in the face.
Right, and he's saying that he'll be surprised if AP is inactive. And if he is, he's going to talk to at least one of the coaches.
He also said Trent 50-50, and he talks to him all the time.
Yep, your reaction
three
next.
Three big stories there.
The Chunkies Rewind on the download.
Thanks for tuning in this Saturday morning. I got to get out of here. I'll see you same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. In the meantime, you can catch me on Twitter at Chris Lingbach. Follow the radio station on Instagram, 106.7 The Fan on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube. We had a great week of new, unique content, Caps content, on our station YouTube page. That's 106.7 The Fan on YouTube, and I'll see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.